Good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Kelly.
Good morning.
We are glad that you're with us. We got a pretty serious question. One question that I believe every single person who is listening can relate to. That's why this one is so important, Kelly. I think that we all struggle with this question and what to do with it in our life at different points.
Yeah, it is tough sometimes, really. Nancy, I'm glad you brought this up today. We're going to be talking about forgiveness, y'all. So are you ready for this? Why, Nancy, why should I forgive those people who have deeply hurt me? Why should I?
Yeah, and that comes from the depths of the gut of all people who have been, you know, abused, disregarded, pushed aside, or bullied, or whatever. And it creates a hurt that is it's pandemic. The hurt out there of men and women and young people is horrific. And it will continue until we leave this world as believers. Anyway, we have the hope of when we die and get out of this world, we will live with Christ forever in heaven. That is our ultimate hope. But some of the pain and suffering we currently or have previously experienced is serious, and it leaves us with a personal brokenness, really, that stretches our faith to the breaking point. And I know a lot of people are there right now, like, what on earth can I do? I am at my breaking point. And, you know, if we turn to the world to medicate, or even our friends who mean well, I think we need to think again. The world's way of trying to lessen the pain is to medicate, of course, and sometimes people do need medication under the advisement of physicians. But to self-medicate with pills or alcohol, or to isolate ourselves, or to act out toward family and friends, or to bury it, which most of us are very good at doing, or we think we are, and pretend that whatever it is, we can power through it with no help from others. And, you know, the thing is, these seem like logical things that we might do, options, but none of these options will give us the peace of mind to weather the fallout from past and present storms of life. And this is the key. Is there help? The question is, how should I forgive those who deeply hurt me? What do we do when we're caught? And over again, the only help that we have, that we need, is found in Christ. And He is the answer. He is the place to go. He is the answer to your wondering, you know, I can't weather this storm. How can I do it? And Christ says, you can do it through me. Because God is the only one, through Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit in those who are Christians, who gives us strength and love and comfort and wisdom to work through the pain. And this is what's so important. We pray for a miracle. Yes, God does miracles. But to strengthen ourselves, to strengthen our own faith, to be a witness to others, He chooses to walk with us through the pain. And I'm just saying, without Christ, there is no hope. So, again, scriptures, the Bible's filled with this. Psalm 46, God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And then Psalm 121, I love this. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the makers of heaven and earth. The Lord will keep me from all harm. He will watch over my life. The Lord will watch over my coming and going, both now and always. He is with us. He died to be active, you know, so we could have a relationship with Him. He is always available 24/7 to come to us and give us peace.
Well, when I think about that, you know, it's difficult because when we read the Bible, we see that Jesus is inviting us, yeah, into Him. But that can be very difficult because we're carrying some of those feelings, the unforgiveness because of any betrayals or those challenges in our life. So how do we reconcile what we feel versus what we've been commanded to forgive? Because we don't always feel like forgiving.
Yeah, and we don't, and we think we're the only ones, you know, who have ever gone through this. And what I think the point of the scripture says is that Jesus wants us to come to him because he understands our pain. He became one of us. He suffered more than any human being could ever endure. You know, he knows what it feels like to be betrayed. And for those who have been betrayed by parents or friends or boyfriends or husbands or wives or whatever the situation might be, he gets it. He simply gets it. He knows more about pain and suffering than anyone who's ever lived on the earth. And Jesus, though, unlike us, was willingly, willfully tortured, beaten, you know, and hung on a cross. He did that willingly. He could have gotten off that cross, but he didn't, because he wanted to pay the penalty for all mankind's past, present, and future sins. The thing is, he gets the pain of rejection. And when we look at the story of the death and resurrection of Christ, you know, for his own friends, his best friends on earth, the apostles, they betrayed him. But instead of giving up on us, on mankind, what did he do? He didn't hate us. He loved us. And he forgave us. God's grace motivated him to save sinners like us from the penalty of our sin, which is eternal death. Instead of those who believe in Christ as Savior, our future is to live with him forever in heaven. But listen to this, where there is no death, no pain, no suffering. He said, this is momentary, this pain. Come to me and I will give you rest. And furthermore, hey, there's a new heaven and earth. In the scheme of things, this is just a blip in history, this time on earth. But forever goes forever. And you know, and he didn't go through this pain and suffering to make us feel good. And we have to get this right. He didn't hang there to make us feel good. He didn't hang there to keep people from hurting us. He didn't hang there and be tortured to keep us from being persecuted ourselves. And that is a hard pill for some to swallow, but he didn't die for that. Mm-hmm. He died to save our sinful souls and free us up. And this is the thing, to use our suffering that we've gone through to be his hands and feet by loving and bringing him glory as we love and serve others. That's our call. And again, we go back to the basics. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He could have.
Yeah.
We probably would have. But in order for that the world might be saved through him, and, you know, that we might live through him, that's why he did it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of Jesus. You know, and Kelly, essentially, he's saying, I have got this, and you need to get it. You need to understand why you're on this earth and that I am with you. I am your only hope.
Well, that is the truth. You know, I want to go back for just a minute to, you know, when we're in a position, we've been put in a position where we need to forgive someone where they've hurt us, Nancy, and we've got anger in our hearts. And I think that anger is there because obviously there's hurt underneath it. But intellectually, we know that we're supposed to forgive. We understand, we can open up the Bible. We understand why we're supposed to forgive somebody. But it's hard to get past how we feel. We've got to deal with this flesh. We're going to struggle in our flesh. God's ways are so much higher than ours. He chooses to forgive our sins, and then it's just done. That's his character. It's who he is. It's not that easy for us. It doesn't come that easily for us. Talk about that.
Yeah. And that's a big one. And I think just listening to you talk that moment, you know, we've got to remember that our forgiving them doesn't get them off the hook. And I think we feel that way. I'm not going to give them up because they hurt me so much. Why should I give so-and-so and so-and-so forgiveness? Well, they're not off the hook if you do. And that's the thing. But the deal is, not only does God choose to forgive our sins, but he also chooses, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to live in all believers and give us the power to forgive those who sinned against us. What you're talking about, Kelly, without the Holy Spirit, we could not even consider forgiving because it's not in us, you know. But now that we're equipped with the Holy Spirit, when we believe, God commands us to do what is impossible for us. And that is to forgive others, no matter what the offense, and to no longer hold our offenders accountable for whatever they have done. And that's huge for us. God commands this so we no longer have to deal mentally, emotionally, and spiritually with the pain of suffering of what others have done to us. He's saying, I see your hurt. I feel your pain. Let me come into this. Forgive them so I can relieve what keeps you up every night, what makes you angry during the day. I can take that away from you, is what Christ is saying here. And when we lay our pain and suffering and hurt along with those who caused it at the feet of Jesus, we give him literally their pain and our suffering and those who have hurt us. He then, in exchange, will give us the desire to forgive and to pray for healing and salvation for our perpetrators. Impossible to do without Christ. And this is the thing. When we do that, we are free from having to be mentally and emotionally haunted forever as we live on this life, by their actions. And Jesus, not us, will avenge those who have caused us pain and suffering. And the thing is, the way God avenges looks quite different than what we do. He will avenge for them. Whatever that is, he will do it. And he will say, you know, like our big brother, I'll take care of this for you. You know, but he will do that. But the thing is, in Christ's heart, he will do it in a way to draw those people to him too. Because he loves those people. Those people have a story behind them, probably, of abuse. And that's what we as Christians, if we're serious about our faith, this is what we have to come through to get us away from constantly thinking and being worn down by those people that, who have abused us and have shown no sign of remorse whatsoever. They just keep on going and blow us off. And the thing is, God doesn't. He comes to us. I come to you. I love you. Give it to me. Give your pain to me so you can be free. You know, in Romans 12, repay no one for evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So when you forgive, you know, God says, give this person, give these situations to me. I've got it.
Yeah, but so much like other things in our life, we make it way more complicated than we need to, because what you're saying here is that God knows that we need his help to be able to forgive others. And all we need to do is just lean into that and rely on that and accept that. But we make it so much more difficult, don't we?
Yeah, you know what? We really do. And we forget that the power of God is in us. I mean, we no longer will our feelings control our actions. You know, through the Holy Spirit, we will be motivated. And this is the thing. When God is active in us and we lean on Him, we will be motivated to extend grace and forgiveness for our past, present, and future suffering, you know. And with this, I think we need to mention this because I think it's so important. We need to also apply ourselves to this. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves, not for causing pain and suffering, but we need to forgive ourselves for anything that we've done that have hurt somebody else and this and that and the other. We need to not only look at others for their pain, but what have I done? You know, we need to come before God in that, asking forgiveness. But forgiving others, including ourselves, is difficult, mainly because of our sin nature, you know, which seems to enjoy wallowing in what others have done to us. You know, it is a very unhealthy way. Our sinful natures make us feel good to withhold forgiveness because our flesh tells us we are within our right not to forgive. And I'm telling you, this is so true. I'm the innocent one here. You know, our flesh tells us, don't forgive them. You're the innocent one. And again and again and again, we must call on the Holy Spirit, who can rule over our fleshly instincts and guide us to overcome the battle that rages in us that says, forgive as Christ forgave you. And we're saying, no, they don't deserve it. Well, either do you, Christ forgave you, you know, this kind of a thing. But this is it. Not only our sin nature is pushing against us, but also Satan. Satan is real. He's active and very active in our culture today. And he loathes, he hates the idea of forgiveness. You know, and I love through worldview studies, we talk about this, you know, the character, who is Satan? And his character is, Christ calls him in the scriptures, the enemy, the destroyer, the accuser, the liar, the murderer, the devil, the evil one, to name a few. And forgiveness contradicts his evil nature. And you need to understand that the satanic forces in this world are real and they're active. But listen to this. Jesus gives all believers the right to live in the Holy Spirit, giving us nothing to fear from Satan. God's grace, by it, through it, we have the power to overcome Satan's evil plans for us. He is not the reason that we should ever say, well, I can't forgive because, you know, I just feel I should never forgive. And that's coming from the dark side. And John 10:10, I love it. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I come, says Jesus, that they might have life and have it abundantly. And then here we see in 1 John 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He is in you, who is in you is greater than he is in the world. In other words, the Holy Spirit can overcome any darkness or any evil of Satan. There is no battle going on there. He has defeated Satan at the cross, and he can continue to defeat him today. And then he goes on to say, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. There we go. Whoever is not from God does not listen to this. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's spirits out there that would like to kill and destroy, but the Holy Spirit rules over all, and we got to get this one right. You know, I mean, God can and does use all things, good and bad, for his glory. We have to understand this. He uses suffering for his glory. and forgiveness extended, even when there's no repentance from those who have hurt us, not only honors God, but often serves as a window through which others can see God's mercy. And we need to listen to this again. Forgiveness extended, even when there's no repentance from those who have hurt us, not only honors God, but also serves as a window through which others can see God's mercy. You know, it's the old saying, you may be the only Bible some people ever read. And people are watching you. Christians are watching. You know, your family is watching. What on earth has happened to this people? Wow, how brave is that? How magnificent is that? That, you know, person has forgiven and now is free to live and love others and serve God and honor him. And in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good deeds and glorify their Father in heaven. We are called to give hope and courage to those who are in the midst of suffering, to put their faith in Christ. He is real, he's active, and trust me, he's the most powerful through the Holy Spirit that there is in the universe. And it's at our fingertips, and we need to lean in on that, for sure.
Amen. Nancy, this has been so, so good. We are told to forgive. We are expected to forgive. Forgiveness frees us. It frees other people. It allows people to see the character of God, to see Christ through us, as you just said. And it is so powerful. We have got to do it. This has been wonderful today. Hey, listen, we'd love for all of you to be able to connect with Nancy's ministry and learn more about biblical worldview. You'll find her ministry online at anchorsaway.org. Get your young people connected there. This is what her ministry is all about, high school and early college age, where they can go and be trained in biblical worldview so that when they do age out of their youth groups and go away to college and they're challenged in their faith, they'll be able to stand firm and not be drawn away. And you can be trained in how to teach biblical worldview there also. Go learn more, anchorsaway.org, and you'll be able to hear all of these past conversations that we've been having with Nancy there as well. Also at Kelly and Steve.org. Nancy, we'll talk to you again next week.